Hello, and welcome to Primary Viewpoints, a monthly podcast from Patient Care Online. Tune in to hear practicing physicians and healthcare leaders sound off on topics that impact your clinical practice. I'm your host, Cindy Jennings, Associate Editor of Patient Care Online. In today's episode, we sat down with Ted Kyle to talk about weight stigma and bias in healthcare, which was a major theme of Obesity Week 2021, held earlier this month. Ted is an obesity policy advocate and past chair of the Obesity Action Coalition, as well as the founder of Conscient Health.
Welcome, Ted.
Thank you. It's so nice for you to have me.
So how prevalent is weight bias in healthcare, and how does it impact patients with obesity?
Well, for people living with obesity, it's really almost impossible to go into a healthcare setting and not experience weight bias in some form. It can be subtle, or it can be overt, it can be explicit, or it can be implicit. And in fact, what research is telling us is that over the last decade or so, explicit weight bias, where people explicitly shame somebody because of their size or body weight, is a little less common. But while that explicit bias has become less socially acceptable, implicit bias has grown more common. So implicit bias is that bias that works in the back of your mind without you even thinking about it. It's that instant reaction. It's as one obesity medicine physician once told me, he got a referral from a friend of his who, you know, a caring physician who says, I'd like you to see this patient. She's got very severe obesity, but she's a good person. As if those two things are not compatible with each other. And it's that implicit assumption that people make about obesity, largely because people misunderstand what obesity really is and what the causes of it are. That it's that implicit bias that just really is actually more damaging to people living with obesity than anything else. And you know, if you talk to someone who has had bariatric surgery or something and a very successful outcome with no visible obesity afterward, they will tell you that one of the strongest reactions they have is that suddenly they start being treated like human beings. And as welcome as that change is, it's also infuriating because they say to themselves, I'm the same person I was before. I just got medical help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Obesity Week kicked off with Nikki Massey, who is a board member of the Obesity Action Coalition, sharing her experience growing up with obesity, particularly negative depictions of persons with obesity in mainstream media. So mm-hmm. How has the media portrayed persons with obesity, and how does that tie in and maybe influence or exacerbate weight bias and weight stigma in healthcare?
Well, in short, the media tends to depict people with obesity as less than human. They might not talk about persons with obesity, but rather the obese. Most commonly, you see in stories about obesity pictures of headless bellies and big rear ends, as if, you know, these aren't really people. They are dehumanized body parts that are defined solely by the outward appearance. When in fact, obesity is a metabolic disease. That you know, weight is an indication of what's going on, but this is not a disease of weight. This is a disease of adipose tissue that's causing metabolic problems. Mm.
And so you wrote a recent blog post for your daily news commentary on ConscientHealth.org that discussed a study led by Rebecca Poole from UConn's Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity. The results showed public support for policy to stop weight discrimination and bullying in six countries, including the U.S. You ask in the post if public support for laws and policies is enough to end weight bias and discrimination. Would you elaborate on this and on your current thoughts?
So it's a good thing that people recognize that someone should not be denied employment because of their body size and shape. The real, you know, determinant should be, can they do the job? And it is perfectly legal for employers to deny employment based on weight in every state in the union, but Michigan. So this would be a welcome change. However, I will say that because weight bias is so implicit bias is so prevalent, I have questions about whether that would entirely solve the problem. And the problem is a tough one to solve. We can make progress, but the implicit assumptions that people make will come, I think, only from people listening to and hearing the lived experience of people with obesity, people like Nikki Massey, people who really have go out into life every day ready to be treated as less than human. And that wears away at a person. It just wears away at a person to the extent that easily half of people with obesity live with high rates, high levels of in what researchers such as Rebecca Poole call internalized stigma. In other words, when you hear everybody telling you the lie that you are somehow less of a person because of your size, it's oh so easy for you to start believing that, take it on board, and let it affect your own concept of yourself. And when that happens, the research shows that a person's health outcomes get that much worse.
When patients have this internalized weight stigma, how does that impact their relationship with their provider?
Well, there's pretty clear research that says that when people experience stigma in a healthcare setting, that makes them avoid routine healthcare. And that's another factor that contributes to poor health outcomes. And providers, one way that people will experience weight stigma in a healthcare setting is that providers will attribute every symptom to weight. You know, you can have a headache, people would tell you, and the provider's response will be, well, you should lose some weight. Well, first of all, that's not a novel thought for somebody who's living with obesity. They've thought of that before. And it's not just as simple as saying, yeah, I think I will lose some weight today. But second of all, losing weight is not going to solve their acute pain. And every patient deserves care for the symptoms that they are seeking care for.
Absolutely. For primary care physicians who see many patients with obesity, what strategies would you recommend for those physicians that to maybe check their own weight bias?
So I think there's any number of things that can help. Number one would be take an inventory of your practice and think about what sorts of signals your practice sends about whether or not someone of size is welcome there. Do you have chairs that they can actually sit in? Do you have equipment that will actually accommodate them? Are you going to give them a gown to wear during an examination that will leave them feeling humiliated because it will not even cover them? That is a powerful signal of bias and stigma that doesn't require a provider to say a single word. It just says, you don't belong here. And guess what? When people get that signal, they stay away. Another thing that I would really recommend is going to the Harvard Implicit website and taking their implicit bias test and seeing what just about anybody who takes it sees is that in the culture that we're living in, really heaps a lot of bias and stigma onto all of us and embeds it in our, in the back of our mind. And then another strategy would be, think about your listening skills, and do you listen to people of size who are in your practice, and do you actually take the time to understand their experience? That's extremely valuable. And if you're not so sure, well, then I would suggest tapping into the resources of the Rudd Center and the Obesity Action Center, which are full of suggestions and ideas and resources to help a medical provider really check their bias and work toward lower levels of bias.
Great. And so what type of advocacy are you or other and or others currently spearheading to change the negative or the narrative of weight stigma in healthcare?
So the Obesity Action Coalition has a campaign going on right now called Stop Weight Bias. We have people telling their personal stories. And I find that understanding that those personal stories, the experiences that people have, is an excellent way to begin to understand what's going on. Because, you know, it's one thing to make it into an intellectual concept and say, oh yeah, I believe that even people with severe obesity deserve respect and care. But it's quite another thing to understand what their experience is in healthcare.
Agree. And is there anything else that I left out that you would like to add? Or this is kind of, it is a pretty quick interview, but if there's anything you wanted to add or?
Well, the one thing that I would add is that weight bias has its roots in a profound misunderstanding of obesity itself. The common narrative for obesity is that it is a behavioral problem. And that goes into a lot of medical information just very implicitly, that says, you know, diet and exercise is the foundation. If you eat right and be active, well, then that will overcome obesity. And I'm here to tell you that in the environment in which we live, that just is not adequate for reversing obesity. For someone who has lived with obesity from a very, very early age, obesity is a largely a condition that susceptibility is largely determined by the genes that you inherit. I like to say that the genes set the table for obesity, and then the environment serves it up. So it's not to say that I'm trying to foster an unproductive conversation about nature versus nurture. It's nature and nurture. But obesity is a highly heritable chronic disease. And if you don't really understand obesity as a highly heritable chronic disease, then you don't really understand obesity. And it's hard to overcome bias toward people who have obesity if you're thinking that it's just something that they chose for themselves.